This is Night Call. Broadcast live with host Russ Gibb. And tonight's guest, Mrs. James Bell. Tonight's subject, how much authority should schools exercise over teenagers? You participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Now here's Night Call host, Russ Gibb.
Hello, night people. This is Gibb. Standing by in Cleveland Heights, Ohio, is Mrs. James F. Bell, housewife and mother, who recently took issue with the Cleveland Heights School Board when they expelled her son from high school for sporting a goatee. If you'd like to ask Mrs. Bell a question or make a comment on tonight's topic, how much authority should schools exercise over teenagers, give us a call here at Nightfall. Now, our national number is area code 313-846-6601. Now, remember, you may call from anywhere collect. Please make the call station to station. The number, area code 313-846-6601. Our night call operators are on duty. Our lines are now open, and we invite you to join us here on Night Call. Area code 313-846-6601. Mrs. Bell, what was the outcome of your encounter with the school authorities in Cleveland Heights?
The outcome was simply that our son was suspended from school, not expelled. We did not go on with it. He did shave off the beard. This was really a very small little goatee. He shaved it off and went back to school, having missed a grand total of 3 days.
Well, what reasons did the school authorities give for their position on the goatee?
There is, in the Heights High School dress code, a provision that says boys are expected to be clean-shaven. The fact that it said are expected and the fact that the dress code had no indication of legal authority behind it led us to believe that this was a simple, socially desirable thing on the part that the high school desired the children to be clean-shaven, not that it was an absolute requirement.
Now, did they limit this dress policy only to goatees, or did they have certain types of hemlines for the gals and haircuts for the boys also?
Oh, there are quite a few provisions in the Heights High handbook. For the boys, a well-tucked-in shirt, which must be buttoned up to the top button, but not necessarily including the top button. Neat and clean slacks, no jean-style Levi's. Dress shoes without cleats. A belt with appropriate pants. Sweatshirts are prohibited. Socks are required. Boys are expected to be clean-shaven and to have well-groomed hair. All gym equipment must be marked with the owner's name. And the list for girls includes 9 items.
What are these items?
It starts with extreme hairstyles will not be permitted. Clips and rollers will not be permitted in hair during the school day. Eyeliner and eyeshadow will not be permitted during school day. Extremes in makeup, such as white lipstick, will not be permitted during the school day. The skirt length must be at mid-knee or longer. Extremely tight-fitting skirts and dresses will not be permitted. A blouse, which is appropriate for the school day, is a blouse which is tucked in or a suitable overblouse. A suitable overblouse is one which is specifically tailored to be worn outside the skirt and which is not longer than mid-hip length. A blouse with a scoop neckline will not be permitted. And so forth on that one. There's more about blouses.
Well, tell me, Mrs. Bell, do you feel that we're forcing a conformity upon teenagers that really doesn't matter?
Yes, I feel we're forcing a conformity, and I feel it really does matter that we are doing this. Styles and in dress and grooming come and go. In fact, I think perhaps they come and go a little faster if we don't try too hard to limit them. But this isn't the big thing. The big thing is that we are violating personal rights. I really question whether it's legally or morally right to deprive anyone of a personal or civil right, the free exercise of which hurts no one, including the one who exercises that right.
Well, now, don't school officials feel that if a child were to come into his class with long hair or a type of clothing that was extreme, that this would disrupt the teaching or the education processes that we would hope were going on?
Yes, apparently they feel this, and I am astounded because among teenagers, we certainly have children coming in all the time with braces on their teeth, with pimples on their chins, with numerous variations in their personal appearance. And it's very important that our young people in this teen generation, which is going to have contact with people from all over the world, various cultures, that these young people learn to pay attention to minds and ideas and not to dress and grooming.
In other words, you're saying that you really don't think that youngsters should be taught grooming.
I think that youngsters have to learn grooming, of course. It isn't that they shouldn't be taught grooming, but that that's an item that comes from the home. Also, that they should learn to pay attention to other people, even if those people are not dressed and groomed in the manner that they themselves or their family find acceptable.
Well, who would you say is most responsible for dress standards? The parents, the school officials, or students themselves?
Well, I really feel that basically it is a parental responsibility. However, of course, any child can roll up the sleeves of the shirt, unbutton the buttons, or whatever. It, of course, depends on the student in many ways even more. No matter what clothing a student goes off to school in, he or she can vary it.
Do you think kids purposely go out of their way to have styles that are a little bit extreme?
Perhaps.
Well, do you feel that this is saying something about kids?
It's experimentation. It's growing into themselves. It's trying to be what they want to be. We've been playing a game around here. We call it Style Line.
What is this?
We have a new game. We call it Style Line.
And how is this game played?
Where the face is familiar. You know, the face is familiar, but there's something different about you.
Okay.
Object of the game is to see how many weird changes you can think of in styles. You know, George Washington with a beard, Lincoln without one, Albert Einstein with a crew cut, Queen Elizabeth I in a slinky gown, Tarzan in a tuxedo, or Whistler's mother in a bikini.
And you're wondering whether or not these people really would change if it were just their garment that they had on, that the garment would change their being. Is what you're saying to me?
I'm saying that developing one's own style is a part of developing one's own character.
What do you feel that school officials are saying about themselves when they go out of their way to put down these very detailed lists and, of clothing that's required for students? Do you think possibly that, in a way, they're saying something about their own insecurity as leaders?
I don't really know what they are saying about themselves. I do feel that in their desire, and I believe that they are very sincere, in their desire to have a good educational atmosphere, they may be destroying something else, which is also important.
What is that something else?
We've got to consider the development of the total individual, not just the academic matter, but also opportunities for trying things out, for making mistakes. Sometimes people learn only by making mistakes. I remember a funny thing that happened about 10 years ago. At that time, girls were wearing hoop skirts in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
You remember when skirts were long?
Right.
Yes.
They're coming back. I understand the granny is coming back.
Oh? At any rate, our oldest daughter was in the sixth grade 10 years ago, and she came home from school one day and announced that one of her friends had appeared at school with a hooped skirt. And she said it was the funniest thing. You should have seen her try to get up to go to the board. And this and that. The child never wore a hooped skirt again. Neither, as far as I know at least, did any of the other girls in the class. They all learned from this one experience and from seeing it.
Our guest tonight, Mrs. James F. Bell. Housewife and mother, our topic, how much authority should schools exercise over teenagers? You're tuned to the Night Call Network. This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Look, I'm quite self-sufficient. I made myself what I am, thank you.
But don't you think all of us occasionally could use a little divine or...
Gee, I gotta run. Here's my card, anyhow. I'm a vice president now.
Well, good.
Yes, indeed.
But your name, it's just penciled in here.
Well, there's a big turnover in personnel. You know how it is.
Uh-huh. Well, that's just about how it is in life, isn't it?
Pardon?
We're all just penciled in.
Where you get the idea you could make it all by yourself. Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by the United Presbyterian Church.
This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb. Hello again, night people. Our guest tonight, Mrs. James F. Bell, housewife and mother. And our topic, how much authority should our schools exercise over teenagers? And if you'd like to make a comment on school dress policies or what teenagers should or shouldn't wear to school, give us a call here at Night Call. Our national number is area code 313-846-6601. Now remember, you may dial us direct. And if you wish, you may make the call collect. You may reverse the charges. That's area code 313-846-6601. And we'd really like to hear from you. Now, our operators are on duty. Our lines are open here at Night Call. So why don't you give us a buzz? And we'd particularly be interested in teenagers and what they think about dress policies and haircuts and all the other rules and regulations that they must follow to stay in school today. Do they think this is good? Does this help them grow up? Or is this bad? Well, let's hear what you're thinking about by calling us here at Night Call. Area code 313-846-6601. Mrs. Bell, do you think that Americans really believe in individuality?
I hope so, very much. I think it's one of the most important things.
Do you feel that our actions follow what we say we believe?
One of the big problems is that we have so many more teenagers than we've ever had before, and we really aren't prepared for the size of the job.
What do you mean by that?
I mean that we panic, and we decide, goodness sakes, there's so many of them, and they come from such a diversity of homes and this and that, maybe we better put on regulations. And we do without considering whether these regulations are possibly infringing on parental prerogatives or on the individual liberties of the teenagers.
Do you feel that teenagers have any responsibilities to take as far as dress is concerned? Do you feel that they should have this responsibility?
Oh, I certainly do. No matter what anyone else says or does, no matter what regulations are made or not made, the fundamental responsibility is their own.
And do you think this is a good thing?
Yes. It's part of growing up.
Well, now, why do we stress conformity as we do in America?
panic, for one thing.
Now, what do you mean by panic?
We're just not ready to face this many teenagers at once.
Do you think that we're a little bit afraid that they may be taking over our society?
Yes.
Well, do you think this is good or bad?
I think it's bad, because I think by treating them as a mass, we are ruining some of our best potential leaders. And I feel that we are, that we often do treat our teenagers as a mass. I felt it was very good that you had Mr. Schultz on the other night saying teenage is not a disease. It's not. And I think it needs to be stressed.
Well, Mrs. Bell, I have a caller now from Massachusetts, a listener on WBAL, Mr. Dan Lucy. Good evening, Dan. Speak right up. You're on night call, sir.
Hello. I'd like to reply to Mrs. Bell, who was just speaking about the dress code.
Yes.
I'm a junior high school teacher, and to me, school is a business in which we are producing a product, an educated person. And when people go to work in a profession or any other type of occupation, they have to dress suitably for what they are working for. Department store clerk does not go to work in Bermuda shorts. A doctor doesn't operate in Bermuda shorts. Similarly, children should go to school dressed properly for the situation in which they're going to be placed. They're there to do one thing, to learn, not to show off, not to cause any, disturbance by their dress. And that's simply what I wanted to call about. It's not trying to put them all into a mold. In fact, we all, for a matter of fact, are in a mold. When you go to business, you're required to wear a shirt, a tie, and a suit coat. That's a sort of a standard uniform for any gentleman that's in business. Is that correct?
Mrs. Bell?
Yes, I found a very interesting article. It was sent to me the other day from the Milwaukee Journal. It was written by Mr. Russell Baker of the New York Times News Service, and was really deploring the fact that even adults do get into a mold, including the business organization crew cut. Mr. Baker said, "A man's right to wear his hair as he wants to is one of the glories of a free society, and one of the first actions of tyrants is invariably to groom their subject males in a uniform haircut. Prisons, drill sergeants, Nazism, and the modern organization all have a common goal in their need to suppress individualism. Schools should be less concerned with unorthodox hair lengths and more concerned with why they are turning out so many orthodox minds."
Dan, what do you think about that?
Well, as far as the drill sergeant bit goes, I was in the Army too, and there's a reason for having a short haircut. You don't want a whole barracks infected with pediculosis.
Yes, but I don't think we have lice in our schools. If so, the girls had better get their hair cut short, too.
Well, I teach in school and see those public health nurses go through the girls' heads and see how many are sent home.
Is this a widespread thing?
Well, it's not a widespread thing, but it's quite common with girls who have long hairdos that have it all plastered up with this lacquer that comes in cans, and they don't clean it very often because they're have to disturb the whole set of their hair.
Dan, you made a comment about education, that you're producing a product.
I can hear you very well, and this, I'm calling from Massachusetts.
Yes, sir. Dan, you made a comment about the educational plants that we have producing a product.
Right.
I think some people might wonder what you mean by a product.
A product is the educated child. Educated to take his part in the culture and carry on the culture of today.
Now that sounds like someone that's conforming a great deal. We tend to think of automobiles.
Can you speak a little louder? I can't hear you.
We tend to think of automobiles coming off an assembly line, all quite similar. Is this what we want in America for our youngsters?
No. You are giving them information how they use it is, and what use they put it to, is determined by the abilities and the capacities that they have. You are passing on the information that is necessary for them to function in society.
Uh-huh. But I heartily approve of your passing on information. It's when you say that they must dress in a certain manner to receive that information that I object.
Dan?
Well, as I stated before, a doctor is operating on a patient, and his skill lies in his brain and his hand. Why should he wear a surgical gown? Why can't he operate in Bermuda shorts? A department store clerk is selling, say, radios. Why can't she dress in a bikini? That's not a necessary adjunct to her selling radios.
Well, Dan, why can't she? I'm thinking of Schweitzer now, the doctor. It seems to me that I had read that he operated in a pair of old khaki trousers and a T-shirt. And yet he was a very successful surgeon. Dan?
I'm sorry, I'm listening to you on the delay. I can't hear you over the phone very well.
I see.
Schweitzer was operating under a lot of primitive conditions, and if I remember correctly, he had been criticized by the government of the country in which he was performing his services in, as being behind the times, was he not?
Yes, I understand that he was criticized. I'm wondering now about an individual that goes to an office without a tie. Can he still do a good day's work if he's a real human being without a tie, or is that tie very important to him doing that day's work? Dan?
Well, going to business without a tie doesn't inhibit your action as a human being one way or the other. However, it does present a picture of a person who is nonconformist. Then, if you are in a position where you are trying to sell something or you are trying to represent a company, you are the picture of that company, and people will begin to wonder, well, what is this company or what is this thing that he's selling? Is it all that it should be? You're implying that there's something maybe wrong with the company or with the product because you do not dress like other people do. People wonder because something is out of line, or people are afraid of things that they don't know about. Something strange raises questions.
So, what are you afraid of when a child comes to school dressed differently?
Dan?
I'm not afraid of anything when he comes to school differently. I'm afraid of the way he acts. I won't categorize them all that way, but the few that do come that way are ones that do not have the, shall we say, mental capacity to absorb the learning that's being passed out. And so to abuse themselves and others, they start causing trouble in the classroom. As a normal rule, you usually find that it's people who have to get attention in other ways than the normally accepted ways in school that are these people that dress weirdly, either in clothing or in hairstyles.
Dan, I want to thank you for your comments, and thank you for calling Night Call.
All right, thank you.
Good night, sir. Mr. Dan Lucy from Massachusetts, a listener on WBAL. Our guest tonight is Mrs. James F. Bell. She's a housewife and a mother. Our topic, how much authority should schools exercise over teenagers? You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Well, I can't this Sunday. I'm playing golf, and the following Sunday I promise to take the kids to the beach.
Uh-huh.
Man's got to spend some time with his kids, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Besides, we seem to get along just fine without church. You know, it's up to the individual. Gee, look at the time. I got to run. But anyhow, we'll trot along to church one of these days.
Uh-huh. Well, how about 2 weeks from Sunday?
Oh, I never planned that far ahead. 2 weeks, the whole world could blow up by then.
That's right.
where you get the idea you could make it all by yourself. Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by the United Presbyterian Church.
This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
How much authority should our schools exercise over teenagers? That's our topic on Night Call tonight, and our guest is Mrs. James F. Bell. And she is a lady from Cleveland Heights, Ohio, who had some difficulties with the school authorities in Cleveland Heights about a goatee that her son was sporting. So if you'd like to make a comment about school dress policies, whether or not you think they're right or wrong, give us a call here at Night Call. We'd like to hear from you. Now, our lines are open, and our operators are on duty. The area code is 313, the number 8466601. Now, remember, you may call from anywhere collect. Please make the call station to station. Our number here at Night Call, area code 313-84-6-6-6-0-1. And if you get a busy signal, don't become discouraged. Just hang up and dial again, because we're waiting to hear your comment here on Night Call. Mrs. Bell, I have a caller in Denver, Colorado now, a listener on KTLN, Miss Eleanor Golden. Good evening, Eleanor. How are you tonight?
I can hardly hear you, Russ. How are you?
Real fine. Your comment, Eleanor.
Well, I believe in what the gentleman said previously, except that I think I feel a little more strongly about it. I believe that, Mrs. Bell in really one breath said, children should be disciplined at home, but they should. And then in the next breath, she said that they should be allowed to actually develop their individual personalities in school. And if they want to wear their hair oddly or they want to dress oddly, this is all right. I say that children are sent to school to really learn, to actually be educated. Certainly. They should stand out because of their ability and their mind, not because of the way they're dressed. And I honestly feel that the riots that we have had in colleges and really universities are because of these individuals that think that they can flaunt any kind of authority and get where they want and get what they want. I mean, regardless of whether it be right or wrong. I think that this sort of thing should be stopped rather than encouraged. I mean, this is the way I feel, and I admire really Prince Philip of England in actually sending their son to a school that would discipline him, that would make him toe the line along with everybody else.
Mrs. Bell.
I don't know how she feels about it, but I think we ought to revert to the old school of sending our children to school to learn, not to just make apes out of them and have them, her child who can go to school with his hair cut oddly can also get behind the wheel of a car and figure, well, it's my personality, I'm going to do as I please.
Oh, no.
In a cannibalistic world.
Oh, no, Miss Golden, that isn't what I mean at all. Perhaps I didn't make it clear. Certainly, children have to obey laws. We all do. Laws that are made for the protection of safety and health and so forth are absolutely necessary. And there are many, many laws today, many more than there used to be. There have to be many more because there are more people. But with so many things that absolutely have to be obeyed, must we add extra things, things that have really no influence on health or safety?
Well, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, Yes, do.
Did you want me?
Yes, Eleanor, please. Yes.
I'm trying to turn my radio on at the same time because I can hardly hear you, Mrs. Bell.
I'm sorry.
What I'm trying to say is this. I believe that religion should be in the home. I believe that manners should be taught in the home. I believe that a child that goes to school in that manner is really distracting to actually the rest of the class, and they are sent to school for one reason and one reason only, and that reason is for an education. It is not to show off. It is not to stand out in a ridiculous manner. It is to be educated.
I heartily agree that the important thing in a school is education, and I wish that educators would stick to that job. I think that when they get involved in things that are concerns of the home, they make a mistake. They overstep their proper authority.
But they're not being concerned with that, Mrs. Bell.
To me, dress is a thing.
What they're concerned with, my dear, is really education, and they shouldn't have to spend their time really telling your child and my child to go home and really wash his face or really tuck in his shirt tail if your son is going, or my son, and I've got two of them, is really going to a football game, or he's going to a dance, or what he's doing outside of school is his own prerogative. Do as you please, as your parents really allow you and encourage you to do. But don't disrupt a schoolroom. I don't think we're paying taxes for actually this sort of thing. And I have two sons.
And I don't think we're paying taxes to have people requiring our children to dress in a manner that happens to suit the fashion of the moment. I am concerned. These school dress codes are not drawn up by people who have legal training and take careful concern about being careful not to infringe on parental prerogatives or individual liberties. And they're made to preserve the current fashion. And fashions in dress and grooming come and go. Now, I've read somewhere that, according to some fashion columnists, eyebrows are on the way out. Now, what's to prevent some future school dress code from stating that girls are expected to have clean-shaven brows?
Eleanor?
Hello.
Yes.
I'm just trying to hear her, trying to fool with my radio at the same time. Well, all I can say is, Mrs. Bell, that frankly, the way I feel about it is that if really we parents keep on, encouraging our children, we have gotten a lot of children because we want them to do and be what we could not do or be, and in doing so, we are hurting our children very badly. We are bringing them up to do what they want, when they want, regardless of anything else, and I believe we are the ones that are going to suffer for it.
Eleanor, thank you for calling Night Call.
Thank you very much.
Good night. This is Eleanor Golden from Denver, Colorado, a listener on KTLN. Let's go out to Syracuse, New York now, a listener on WBAL, Mr. Jim Ravencraft. Good evening, Jim. Speak right up your comment, sir.
Good evening. How are you?
Real fine, sir.
I was listening along here, and all of a sudden I heard the comment that we are in our schools operating like a business, and we're supposed to be turning out a product, and
yes,
the product is the educated child. And having a teacher certification myself for junior high school in another state, I almost flipped my lid.
What do you mean?
This idea of turning out a product and for children to be considered a product or something that we can turn out, like you turn out little tin soldiers out of a mold, I think it's inhuman. Robert Maynard Hutchins, in a column several months back that I wish I had, that I wish I could refer to, was talking about the riots on the Berkeley campus. And he was saying that perhaps these are caused by the fact that we are running our colleges like businesses instead of like institutions of learning, and that we are trying to turn out a product, and this is the human in us, the human in these students is beginning to rebel and saying we will not be a standardized product, we are going to be ourselves. And it seems to me, unless we let some of this individuality come out, we're going to have more rights and not less. And I'd like to ask Mrs. Bell if she thinks her son is less well behaved or any more inclined to riot than the students at the high school who might be clean shaven.
As a matter of fact, we felt that the beard contributed greatly to Sam's maturity. He was mistaken for an older boy, and he behaved like one in a very responsible manner. That's one of the reasons we liked it.
Well, that sort of reminds me of, this another newspaper column. Sidney Harris, I think, was talking about a friend of his whose son grew a beard and finally got so much kidding from his friends, his son's own friends, that he shaved it off.
In other words, they're more concerned about what their contemporaries think about them.
Yes. But in any event, Harris said that until his friends could accept him with a beard, even if he tied a pink ribbon around it, that wondered if there was a possibility for as much expression, individual expression, as we might have otherwise.
Jim, why do you think that some adults wish to have the youngsters conform?
Well, I think it's easier to deal with them that way. In other words, if you don't have to look at each individual child and say, well, this child is showing off, or this child needs some special attention, or this child wants to appear more mature, or this person is more mature. If you don't have to look at these, if you can set up a bunch of rules, 1, 2, 3, 4, and go down and check off what the individual is like according to these rules, it's much easier to set up the rules. Then you don't have to make decisions.
Jim, what do you feel is the reason that youngsters want to be nonconformists?
Well, for the very reason that they don't want to be machines. They want to be human beings. They want to be able to, if you wish, just look different. In other words, be able to look at themselves in the mirror and say, this is I, and this is not somebody else. Or I am mature. I am able to grow a beard.
Jim, thank you for your comments.
And thank you.
Good night, Mr. Jim Ravencraft from Syracuse, New York, a listener on WBAL, a gentleman who feels that education, the purpose of education, is not to turn out a product. Let's go now to Denver, Colorado, a listener on KTLN. We have about a minute and a half before our break, to Mr. Roosevelt Miller. Good evening, Roosevelt. Speak right up. You're on night call.
Good evening. I can't hear you very well.
Well, we're hearing you well, Roosevelt. Your comment, please.
This is fine. Psychologically speaking, we find that the teenager goes through adjustment stages. Do you agree with me on that part?
Oh, yes.
And one of the adjustments we find is adjusting to society, what society wants, what society requires of an individual, and then the physical adjustment. And I feel that the adults, when they invade into the teenage world, that the teenager looks upon them as overseers or someone trying to take over their world or their lives as far as dressing is concerned and studying and so forth, but more so over in studying or school studies. And so therefore, I feel that the adult should let the teenager create their own ideas as far as dressing and by organizing student body government, you know, which could have rules and regulations about this. And now, I know that there are a lot of schools that have this already, but I think what I'm trying to say is that the adults should let the teenagers decide more so. You know,
yes, sir.
I mean, in other words, you shouldn't say to a teenager, well, look, you wear your hair, that's terrible. You shouldn't wear your hair long like this. Well, to the teenagers in their society or their world, well, this might seem comfortable to them, and at the same time, they might be able to study quite well. And then the next thing I'd like to say is...
Well, Roosevelt, we're going to have to ask that you hang on for just a few minutes while we take our break. We'll be right back with you.
Our guest tonight is Mrs. James F. Bell. She's a housewife and mother. Our topic, how much authority should our schools exercise over teenagers? You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Busy America! Busy America! Busy making money! Busy buying gadgets, busy keeping up with you-know-who.
Is that your idea of fulfillment?
Don't you wonder if there's more to life than just that rat race with no finish line? Where'd you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by the United Presbyterian Church.
This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
Hello again, Night People. Our guest tonight, Mrs. James F. Bell. Our topic, how much authority should our schools exercise over teenagers? And if you'd like to join us here at Night Call, give us a buzz at area code 313-846-6601. Now remember, you may call from anywhere, collect. Please make that call station to station. The number is area code 313-846-6601. Our lines are open, and the operators are on duty, so let's hear what you think about school dress policies or the educational problems that our teenagers are meeting or facing today. That's area code 313-846-6601. Just before the break, Mrs. Bell, we had a caller on the line, Mr. Roosevelt Miller from Denver, Colorado, a listener on KTLN, and he had another question. Roosevelt?
Yes.
Your question.
As I was saying... later on, you will find that more dropouts will occur in schools, especially while private schools, Catholic schools, because of these strict rules, you know. And you find that also this stage of adjustment involves many conflicts, you know. And pretty soon the student is very disturbed, you know, which way it should go. So I feel that the teenager, as I said before, should make the decision. And in conclusion, I think that you will find that the adjustments will be easier and less confusive, and also you will find that there will be more conformance in schools throughout the nation.
Roosevelt, are you a student?
Yes, I'm a student at Metropolitan State College, and I'm a freshman.
I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
I hope I get my dues across.
I think you did. Very well, sir. Good night.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Roosevelt Miller from Denver, Colorado, a listener on KTLN. Let's go now to Logan, Utah, Mr. Terry Williams, and he's a student at Utah State University.
Yes, Utah State University.
Yes, Terry, your comment, please.
My comment is, I believe that the dress code is overemphasized in many cases in a lot of our leading high schools throughout the country. I'm a resident of the St. Louis area. And in my high school, the dress code is emphasized too much to an extent. And also to many of the high schools in the Logan area And in most cases, the college students that I've come in contact with that are freshmen and even sophomore level students who should be intelligent enough not to be influenced by students are rebellious in many senses. And in my opinion, that overemphasis can be as harmful as not giving too much.
Mrs. Bell, what do you think about that?
This reminds me of a cartoon I saw recently, B.C., by John Hart. It showed two ants crawling up a hill, and the one ant said to the other, "Is that you, Fred?" And the first one, and the second one said, "Heck no, I'm Charlie, you're Fred." And the first one said, "Oh, I get confused. We all look alike." I do think it's important that we not all look alike, and I appreciate Mr. Williams' comments.
Terry, why do kids want to dress and be different than adults?
Well, I think that the biggest basis is that in college today, there's a very, very strong influence of individualism and nonconformity, not in the sense of rules, but the social norms that exist within our society, that there should be more of an individual effort, an individual aim of the individual. And I believe because of this overemphasis on dress codes many times, and I'm talking about a great overemphasis to the extent of quite severe punishment through the high school, that when the student reaches the college level, he is more intent to take this individualism and turn it into a more existing type thing into which he rebels against social conformity and dress in college and things of this nature.
Terry, do you feel that youngsters are really should have the right to express themselves completely, though? In other words, if everybody were an individual, wouldn't this create a sort of chaotic state?
Yes, no, I didn't mean in that sense. Yes, a chaotic state would exist, but what I was trying to make clear was the social norms or the social regulations that are here for the individual to abide by are normal type responses, normal type things that the individual has addressed, the type of dress a businessman wears, or the shirt and tie, as you were talking about earlier, and the type of things that students wear. But I was trying to get at the overemphasis of a dress code in most individuals that I have come in contact with.
It's a matter of degree, then.
Type tendency in the individual.
You're saying this is a matter of degree, then?
Yes, I think so.
Terry, thank you for calling Night Call.
All right, thank you.
Nice talking to you, Mr. Terry Williams from Logan, Utah, a student out at Utah State University. Let's go to Denver now, Denver, Colorado, a listener on KTLN, Mr. Tom McAllister. Good evening, Tom. Your comment, please, sir.
Good evening, sir.
Your comment, Tom.
I can't understand why so many of these schools will override these children and send them home, such as the case of Mrs. Bell's son, because he had a little goatee or because they have long hair. After all, they're going to school to learn. And you've never heard of any minister, a preacher, a priest, a rabbi, or anyone else sending anybody home from church because they had on overalls or because they had a beard or because they had long hair or because their hair wasn't combed. And I think Ms. Bell has a perfect gripe when she says that she doesn't think it's right because her son was sent home because he had a little goatee, and that was my comment.
Mrs. Bell?
Thank you very much, Mr. McAllister. I think, really, that our Constitution was originally made to protect just such things when it said in the Ninth Amendment, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. And that's what I think is occurring now, that we are disparaging rights that should be retained by the people.
Tom, do you feel that goatee is really an insignificant thing to get concerned about?
No, I don't. Not anymore. And if some boy had one eye or had a knot on his head from a growth of some kind,
you'd allow him into school then?
You bet I would.
Tom, thank you for calling Night Call.
We've
enjoyed your comments, Mr. Tom McAllister from Denver, Colorado, a listener on KTLN. Mrs. Bell, what have we said tonight about dress policies as far as schools are concerned? What do you feel should be the policies of the schools of the United States?
I certainly think that schools must make certain regulations to protect safety. And certainly I'm not urging that any child should go out and drive on the wrong side of the road, or that children should completely ignore laws, nor should adults. Laws, however, should be based on reason, and laws should be carefully phrased to protect individual rights insofar as possible. And I don't think that it's legally or morally right to deprive anyone of a personal or civil right, the free exercise of which hurts no one.
Do you feel we're possibly destroying kids by having all these rules and regulations?
I was struck by reading something from John Stuart Mill one day. He was quite a strong proponent of eccentricity.
Why?
Have a little oddity around now and then. He said, eccentricity has always abounded when and where strength of character has abounded. And the amount of eccentricity in a society has generally been proportional to the amount of genius, mental vigor, and moral courage it contained.
Are you saying then that we need more individuality in the United States?
We do need more individuality, and our teen generation is going to have to face some very difficult problems. We all have to face them. Hopefully some of them will be solved before these teenagers grow up, but there will be other problems, and we know there will.
When the kids go out of their way and have oddball haircuts, as it were, and they say that they want attention, is this necessarily bad? Isn't attention just another form of love? Is this what they're hollering out?
Well, I don't know whether it's love they want. I think they want to be thought of as individuals, not as products, not as machines. I think they want to have a chance to stand out occasionally. And I heartily agree that it is fine when anyone can stand out on the basis of their school accomplishments. And certainly, I hope that my children have and will continue to stand out on that basis.
Mrs. Bell, you started this procedure by having a disagreement with the Cleveland Heights school authorities, and yet you never took it to court. Why?
Time.
You felt that it would take too much time?
Too much time from our son's education.
So you compromised?
We compromised. I'm sorry we had to.
Our guest tonight?
I regret that we did.
Our guest tonight, Mrs. James F. Bell. I want to thank you for being on Night Call. We've enjoyed having you here, Mrs. Bell. Our topic was,
how much authority should our schools exercise over teenagers? Until Monday night, this is Gibb wishing you good luck and Godspeed.
Night Call is produced by the Methodist Church in cooperation with the National Council of Churches and this radio station, as a radio forum dedicated to the frank discussion of vital issues of daily life. Night Call encourages its participants to express freely and responsibly their own personal opinions.